Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Who gonna check me, boo?
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol.
Now go to sleep, wig.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. And honestly, let's just get right into the effing news.
Boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about Below Deck and Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. But first we have, I would say, a slew of Housewives news to get to.
And here's the news.
I feel like Housewives news comes in waves. Like there'll be a couple of weeks where it's like, oh yeah, like nothing really happens, we're watching our shows. And then there's yesterday where first we got first we got the news that Erica is being sued and allegedly her divorce is a sham made up so they can embezzle money,
which, by the way, I want to thank all the fans for for assuming that was not the embezzlement part, but every single person, you could not ask one person who was not shocked by this. They were like, there has to be more to the story.
I liked that. I liked that people were like, I called this, and it's like everyone called this. So they initially announced their divorce, remember, on election day, and immediately people were like, okay, maybe this is like some kind of business arrangement. We know Tom has some legal stuff ongoing. So like right. It would be a good time for Erica to kind of jump ship financially. And it turns out that might be more true than we thought, and perhaps in a less legal way than, I mean, I know nothing about how like fraud or embezzlement works, but essentially the claim is, and of course this is all alleged. We don't know yet.
Right.
Basically, the idea is that Tom is in this legal issue, may not have as much money as he seems to have, or the money might be running out, and that this divorce would be an arrangement that would allow them to kind of move some money around and make it so it's not really available to be taken in whatever is the ongoing legal thing. So now they've been sued.
Well, they're allegedly embezzled funds meant to help families of victims on a plane crash, which the story just keeps getting like, and it's so funny in like articles that I've read. It's like details of how Tom and Erica, also known as Erica Jane.
Right. They're like Erica Girardi, also known as pop star Erica Jane.
It's
crazy because it would be one thing if it was like a strategic, like, she's just going to take half his bank account and like then they'll like work it out later. But if it's really like something more sinister with like these plane crash survivors, like it's pretty bad. So I'm hoping that it's not fully true, but you know, okay. If you had to guess, scale of 1 to 10, what do you think the likelihood is that we will actually hear about any of this on season 11 of Beverly Hills?
It depends how far into, no, they didn't even start film, or they like just started filming. I don't know because if it is a legal thing, which it is, they're not going to go into details, but they'll mention it. And she might, knowing Erica, I don't know. She might throw us for a loop and be like, it's none of your fucking business.
I think there's no way that they won't bring up the divorce itself because you can't just not mention it. And it's been, you know, in the thick of filming, but I have my doubts that we'll actually get any kind of greater context, but you know,
it also might not, right. It might not be something they talk about because the actual, like I said, the families of the play, that's a little like serious. Like they might not make light of that on a show because that's really fucked up.
I mean, but hey, Elizabeth Vargas is a housewife and she can't talk about anything.
Dude,
so
let's not talk about her today. We will talk about her tomorrow. Yes, please.
Okay, so our second big story yesterday was then Bronwyn Wyndham-Burke announced that she is now identifying as a lesbian, making her the first openly gay current housewife, which is kind of crazy. I that thought was in my mind. I was like, has there been? And then I saw that it was like officially she was the first, which is just seems wild that it took this long, but I'm happy.
Yeah,
for
but
her.
It's 2020. It's the first they're bringing on the first everyone of Real Housewives. So they're like, oh shoot, we really gotta like speed this up. But like, listen, Bronwyn, I'm happy for her that she is again, Orange County we'll talk about tomorrow, but she did make some comments in last night's episode that were very like interesting with the news that came out with her yesterday. Like she was like talking about being true to herself and blah, blah, blah. And I think it is great for her. I mean, again, I wish we know more about what's going on in their family life. Obviously, people are questioning what's going on with her and Sean and blah, blah, blah. But I feel like a weight has been lifted off Bronwyn's shoulders for sure.
Definitely. I just hope I'm kind of stressed out on behalf of her kids. I feel like there's just a lot going on in their family's life right now, and it's all very public. And I cannot imagine. I hope that they're kind of like handling it well as a family, but I mean, shit.
I know there's a lot. I mean, I was texting you last night that Kelly was on Watch What Happens Live, which at first I was like, why is she on here? But then it was because I think they wanted her to apologize and also gave Andy a few minutes to call her out on some things, which I think the audience like appreciated. But she was talking shit about Bronwyn on Watch What Happens Live as she's not an alcoholic. She's doing this for, she had kids because she wanted a reality show. She was going like in, and I was like, when a housewife starts talking so much about someone else, it's because they don't have their own shit together.
I would say Kelly on Watch What Happens Live gave some nicely crafted PR responses that are completely opposite to everything she's exhibited on social media. So yes. I would say
and
actions speak louder than words.
Andy said, don't you think you should think before you post?
We don't have to get into everything she said, but the thing is, like, the thing about Kelly that I think has been so frustrating over the last several months is that it's not like one tweet that was tone deaf or like one post that was not advisable. It's like over and over again. And then she doubles down and lashes out at people that call her out. And so it's like, okay, like for you to say that you support Black Lives Matter, it's like, okay, since when? Like, show us. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, same. I right when you think she's, it's fine, you're like, never mind. Thank you so much.
Finishing off the like trifecta of major stories we got yesterday, turns out Kyle Richards, Kathy Hilton, and Dorit all have COVID right now. We knew last week that we heard production had shut down because someone tested positive, but we didn't know if it was production, cast member, whatever. And now it appears that like half of the cast has COVID, which is pretty crazy.
Well, here's the thing about these people who think they're invincible. They're not. And COVID will get you if it wants to. So obviously I hope they're all doing well. I know you can tell they're they have been social distancing, doing whatever, but when they have to go to work and they're doing the show, like they could have been exposed to someone. So I hope no one's sick. I hope they didn't get other people sick. I hope their families are okay. But seriously, like, it's real. It's still here. And
I think it's
and
tough
if they ruin our filming for our show, I'm going to be pissed. Because like, hello, we have to talk about Beverly Hills. So it's rude.
I think they'll be okay. They should just, okay. They'll take a little break. We have plenty coming up. We have Dallas. We got a Dallas trailer that we forgot to even mention. Maybe let's talk about that tomorrow.
Okay. We have so much new. And thanks for the news.
You know, I just hope all the housewives are okay. We've had, you know, a couple different production shutdowns and stuff. But at the end of the day, It's like It's really tough because obviously it's good to stop going to parties and big events and stuff. But even if you're just filming as a group and then one person, you know, is at the doctor's office or is exposed to someone, you know, their kid brings it into the house. Like, it's really easy for stuff to quickly kind of spiral. And I hope they get it under control and can continue filming safely.
Right.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Let's talk about Below Deck because, like, it wasn't actually that much of an interesting episode, I should say, which is good because we have a lot to talk about with Salt Lake City. Great. Okay.
This season of Below Deck so far, I feel like there hasn't been any big drama yet. We've seen some kind of, like, you know, you have stuff developing, like Shane is still lazy, doesn't really know what's going on. Elizabeth kind of seems to be continually underperforming, I would say, as well. And Rachel clearly has this temper issue going on, but we haven't seen any kind of, like, blow up moments yet. So I'm hoping there's a little more coming soon. But
do you know anyone else who, I don't know if they might not be able to find caviar, threatened to slit someone's throat or cut their, like, scrotum off? I was like, that's dramatic, Rachel.
Probably like every Below Deck chef, but
that's dramatic. Well, here's the thing, like, her temper is, like, a little scary, but not that tempers aren't, but it's like she gets, like, she turns into, okay, I was dying laughing because in one scene where she was throwing shit into the freezer, she looked like the Trunchbull. Like, she was hunched over and she was, like, throwing shit and she was mad. And I was like, I get it, because this one guest, like, requested caviar. So if you don't have what you need, but here's an idea, because, you know, Dylan and I are filled with ideas and advice. Why don't you look for what you need before the charter comes and, like, have a checklist?
Yeah, that's my question. Like, I feel like if there's, it's one thing to not check, like, every single thing, but if there's one, like, specialty ingredient that the guest specifically asked for, like, maybe just take a peek.
This happened before with a tequila. Like, they needed that boat to bring tequila, and I was like, why didn't you check if you had that one bottle?
I know. Like, I feel like I would, if I had, like, a grocery list, I would just make sure that all the stuff was on it. I don't know. I'm sure
so
it's more stressful than.
I'm sure it is.
It was,
you're
interesting.
Right.
I thought it was interesting. Shane didn't get in as much trouble as I thought he was going to for sleeping, but then he can't help himself and got in trouble later in the episode for leaving the, like, garage door thing open.
Well, here's the thing. I was like, wow, I was kind of crazy too that he didn't get in any form of trouble, because I think they know he's kind of on his way out. So they're like, we're not going to, like, demolish him for taking a nap. But it was funny when Eddie was, like, talking about why, and it's because Shane is, like, a little gentle soul, so you have to, like, go easy on him. So that literally is why he didn't get in trouble. But can you imagine just, like, during the day at work going to take a nap, and then, like, one of our bosses at work just, like, doesn't yell at you, Dylan, because, like he was tired,
you know?
So let's not, like, wake him.
If I asked really nice, the right way, the right person at the right time, I might get away with taking an hour nap in the middle of the day. But I would have to clear that first, I think.
Yeah, it's nice to just ask first.
I also want to just bring up really quickly, we see James talking about his kind of struggles with body image and like self-confidence. And I thought that was nice to see, because I think a lot of the time we don't get that type of discussion from men on TV shows. And it was interesting. I know you watched The Bachelorette. We also saw on The Bachelorette this week, Ben talking about having an eating disorder and struggling with that. So a big week for guys talking about body image issues, which I think is good to bring kind of more light to.
Oh, totally. And it's like, obviously, it's a serious topic, but it's, speaking of The Bachelorette, because you brought it up and I can't just not help myself, all of these stories that they tell, including that one, I tweeted this the other day too, because like they get more dramatic each season. And I'm just like, if you don't have a traumatic childhood story, like, could you get on the show these days? Like, that's, what if not, what if everyone's stories don't really like, aren't that traumatic? And to be honest, it's very different coming from being on TV to real life, because I know you're not supposed to judge people, but those are heavy stories to tell when you first date someone. So it's very interesting to see your reaction, because if someone told me a story like any of these on the first date, I'd be like, too soon, we don't even know each other. It's interesting because
like I feel like that's actually, that's like a common reality show trope. If you think of like America's Next Top Model, they're always like, oh, like she like slept in a car to get here and like had to sell the clothes off her back, like whatever. And like they always on Drag Race, they're always like doing their makeup in the mirror talking about their sob stories. It is interesting like how even on Below Deck, like everybody has their little like tidbit of personal of like strife.
I can see that though, because below, like working on a yacht isn't a normal job. So I feel like there has to be a reason why you chose this route.
Like nobody here is like 100% normal.
Right. But no one that I know is either. So that's true.
Yeah. So overall, I'm hoping that the drama kind of ratchets up a little more in the next couple weeks, but I'm still enjoying it. I feel like Below Deck is just like a nice, easy watch.
It is. I feel so good. But you know what? We are now moving on to the drama, because I feel very strongly that it's going to take a lot for me to gain some respect back for Miss Jen Shah.
Jen had a tough episode kind of from start to finish. Oh, and even based on the preview for next week, it seems like she's kind of doubling down. So we pick up where we left off at Whitney's Roaring 20s party with the cowboy stripper and, you know, the pole dancing. And so it's funny because they're at this like speakeasy bar, like saloon. I don't even know. And so at some point they're all sitting down at these booths, like restaurant booths or whatever. And it's just funny because they're kind of like moving from booth to booth. And so Jen takes Meredith aside and they are having this conversation about how, I mean, first Jen is talking about how she's like questioning again Meredith wanting to spend time with her daughter, which I just think is like a, it's just a point. It's like a lame, it's a non-issue. It's a moot point.
Jen literally was like, you're saying you're choosing Chloe over me, basically is what she was saying. And Meredith was like, yes.
Well, yes. Yeah. And she was like, this party ends at midnight, so then you're going to spend time with your daughter. And it's like, okay, even if Chloe was asleep when Meredith got home, she still is going to be there when she wakes up in the morning and they can have breakfast together and whatever. Right. Versus like just having girl time with Jen, which she can do whatever. And then obviously it goes back to Mary, and Jen is just like so fucking angry at Meredith for even like having, you know, a kind of like base level friendship with Mary. And I just, it's interesting because Meredith brings up, she says, well, the last time I saw you and Mary was at my birthday party and you two were hugging and making up and saying that you were sorry. And Jen is like, well, the only reason I apologized to Mary was because it was Meredith's birthday and I didn't want it to be a thing. And it's like, that's not Meredith's fault.
Right. That's no one's fault but your own. And also, did anyone know that until right this second? And also, that's pretty fake to do.
Well, it's not Meredith's fault that your apology wasn't genuine and she wasn't like sticking up for you in this fight she didn't know about. But also, it's like Meredith is not, she is very specifically saying, I'm not picking a side in this argument because it doesn't involve me. And Jen is just like, I feel like she's acting like Mary killed her aunt herself rather than made kind of a tone deaf comment about the hospital smell.
And she's also questioning Meredith about her loyalty. When she brought up loyalty, I was like, girlfriend, this is not as dramatic as you're making it seem. But she goes from that conversation. She has an absolute meltdown, and that is being nice about it. Like, we have all been at bars or out one night where you drink either one too many or that certain alcohol affects your friend the wrong way. You're lying if you're saying like that isn't true. You know that. And so clearly she drank one. It was the alcohol, like she did. And this made her get like this. But these are grown ass women. For these women to have to make sure they go over to Jen because they're scared she's going to yell at them if they don't. And more than one of them said that, by the way. That's like not a friendship that you want. What kind of friendship is that? It's.
Yeah. And well, and I mean, the whole, she just is weirdly like so angry at Meredith. Meredith says she's disengaging. She is not going to engage, which I thought was actually, I think that was the right thing to do. They were clearly, Jen was at a point where she was not going to just like be chill. So I think it was smart of Meredith to kind of be like, you know, this is not going anywhere good. I'm just going to walk away. I'm ready to go. I'm going to go see my daughter. And yeah. And then when that's when Jen goes, you're going to go with Mary who fucked her grandfather. And it's just like, so I actually really felt for Mary in that moment. She was like, yeah, I heard it. And it's like, at least now I know that that's like how she feels. Cause that's not, if Jen really was like, if Jen felt like Mary was a friend that she was going through a tough time with, she wouldn't have said that.
If I was Mary, I would never speak to Jen again. That is just like below the belt. It's nasty. It's again, what did I say a few minutes earlier? When someone is constantly talking shit about someone, it's because you don't have a life or you don't have anything going on. What was the reason for her to scream that across the bar to Mary? There was no reason for that at all. And now I'm getting fucking mad because her behavior in last night's episode was so embarrassing that it was absurd. But really small plug.
I'm picturing Cardi B. What was that reason?
Shot Betches out with a disengaged wine glass, which is the funniest thing ever that last night's episode aired because I was like, it had nothing to do with Salt Lake City. It's actually from our bride's collection. So I was like, well, putting it right into our Bravo collection now. It's not ready yet, but it's on the site. But yeah, so how funny is that? Shout out to Meredith. Thank you so much.
So then, okay, one quick thing that I just have to mention because I was dying when Heather is helping Jen find her Uber and she's talking to the guy on the phone and she goes,
yes,
she tells the Uber driver, I look like a flapper with cankles, which I love Heather. I feel like she is 100% like at ease with herself and is like so just like down, and I love her.
Yes, she's a really nice Mormon woman.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Did you know that women make up 56% of law students?
It's clear that the future of the legal field is female. So why are so many legal podcasts and reviews authored by men? Hi, I'm Leah Littman.
I'm Kate Shaw.
And with Melissa Murray, we are the hosts of Strict Scrutiny.
Each week, we break down the latest headlines and biggest legal questions facing our country to give you expert views you won't hear anywhere else.
Strict Scrutiny is your guide to the Supreme Court.
New episodes drop every Monday. Make sure to subscribe to Strict Scrutiny wherever you get your podcasts.
Position, I assume you would not have invited Jen to your Met Gala luncheon.
Correct. However, Mary was being the bigger person. She was doing this not to be malicious. She was actually doing this to make Jen feel like a smaller person, by the way, which I loved that. I loved.
Mary strikes me as the kind of person where she can feel very uncomfortable in certain social situations. She seems like she gets kind of like frazzled and like you know, is kind of like a little bit like panicked sometimes. But I don't think from what we've seen, and again, I mean, it's still only a few episodes in, this could change. Mary doesn't seem like the kind of person who really like wants drama. Like, I think she can definitely hold her own and she can be like, she can be kind of like intense when she is like placed in a dramatic situation, but she doesn't like, she wants everyone to come to her lunch and get along.
Oh, 100%. Because here's the thing. The difference between Mary and I, well, there's a few, but one of which being if Jen had said that to me at the bar, I would have reacted very differently than what Mary did. But Mary kept her cool and was like, I heard, like, you know, didn't do anything, because I think she knew that Jen was just like a waste case at that moment. And there was nothing to do. But
so another thing we see in this episode is the news of Meredith's separation is finally, well, it starts to trickle out and then it just comes out in full force.
Well, Jen, so, what the fuck? Jen had the worst episode I've ever seen. I'm sorry.
So I loved the scene when with Meredith and Lisa going shopping for her new house. And they really do.
Can I touch?
Lisa is one of those people where I feel like she is kind of a nightmare, but in the exact way I want to see on TV.
Can I touch? That was so good.
She loves like a recurring thing, like in the first episode at the party when she's like, love your dress, love your cape, love your bag, love your hair. And this time, can I touch? She's asking if she can touch like a painting. It's not even touch.
And then they showed and she just put her hand like on the top. And I was like, and honestly, some people need that for like satisfaction. But I was wait, there's nothing. The woman, it was like an LED light. And the woman was like, no, like this one, you can't.
She's like, I guess you can touch like the side of the frame. I was dying. But then when, you know, it was actually a really nice moment when Meredith told Lisa about her separation. And Lisa was really, she was surprised, but she was super supportive and really seemed like, I feel like we got more of a window into their relationship because you could tell that Lisa, she wasn't being supportive in like a superficial way of like, okay, girl, let me know if you need anything. That sounds hard. She was like, really,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, this is a tough thing. Like, please, please lean on me because I want to be here for you.
Yeah. I actually do like this friendship a lot. I want to see more of that. I feel so interesting when a new, you know, franchise starts like this, because it's like, I want to know more about this. Like, you hear them all in the beginning being like, I met this one a few weeks before the other girl. So like, they got to know each other. But I'm like, I want to know how in depth these friendships are. But we also see, this is so random too, Heather and Jen having dinner together. And that is when Jen spilled the beans, the little small can of beans, about Meredith's separation. She knew exactly what she was doing. She said it. She in her confessional, she was like, well, she hurt me, so I'm going to. That is so. You don't. Oh, my
low.
God. I can't. Like, come on. That
low.
Is.
Well, and the thing is, Meredith. OK. If Jen was hurt by Meredith's actions, that's a feeling. She can feel that way. That's whatever. Different people are hurt by different things. But Meredith didn't do anything that was spiteful, or she didn't do anything with the intention of hurting Jen. Mary invited her to church. She went to church. It wasn't like, I want to fuck over Jen, so I'm going to go to Mary's church. Whereas Jen then took whatever way she was feeling and said, I'm going to deliberately use this information to fuck with Meredith. And that is so, like, I want to like Jen, and I think I don't know where this season is going to go. We'll see. I think Jen has the potential to be a really great housewife, but in this episode it was like, you're being a shitty friend.
She felt very toxic in this episode specifically, and I was like, ooh, girl, like, come on.
And it's a slippery slope, because if you do that kind of stuff one too many times, then you can quickly find yourself with no real alliances or friends left in the cast, and that's when it becomes tough to kind of stick around.
Yes. And seeing these two specifically fight, Meredith and Jen, you see a massive difference with like their personas. Like Meredith is like, this is not me. Like, sorry.
Right. Like, Meredith is like, if you want to work on our friendship, we can work on our friendship, but I'm not just going to sit here and like get hysterical about something that was not even done in a way to harm you. Like, sometimes I think Meredith can be almost a little too chill, but I appreciated in this situation that she really was committed to taking the high road and was like, I don't know why you're like screaming at me right now.
I know, but Meredith makes me laugh too. And because like you just said, she's so chill because she's so chill. I'm just like, wait, get angry. She's like, I am not engaging in this. And like, she just with a hand motion, like, no.
Okay, let's talk about Ms. Mary Cosby's Met Gala cocktail attire luncheon.
Because I was dying at how Heather explained it.
Heather explained it, Beefeaters on a red carpet at noon in Utah.
No, because she was like, the Met Gala is a location and the theme changes every year. So how is your theme also, the Met Gala?
Also, the Met Gala is not cocktail attire for sure. That shit is black tie.
I got what Mary was saying. She, instead of saying black tie, she said Met Gala. You know, whatever. Give her a break. She was trying.
I love that. I actually think it's really funny that when they say cocktail attire, the majority of this cast shows up in a pantsuit. I'm kind of into it.
They looked phenomenal in those pantsuits. Phenomenal.
When Meredith and Lisa walked in their like pink and white pantsuits, like they both looked really chic. I was very much enjoying it.
Me too.
But okay, can we talk about this table setting? There's a betta fish at every place.
There's no one in the restaurant.
They have custom notebooks and pens that they're supposed to write something in. They have Louis Vuitton earphones. It was so bizarre the way that this lunch was set up. And you could tell that this was like straight pulled out of Mary's brain onto the table. Like,
and I also got very uncomfortable watching because I don't like forced fun. I've been vocal about this before. I don't like forced, not that this was fun, but I'm saying I don't like forced activity. So like, I wouldn't like to be showed up to an event like that blindly and being like, share something we don't know about you. I don't like that. I'm not like that. I don't find that necessary. If you don't know about me, there's a reason for that.
Like, it's funny. Like, I feel like Housewives loves sort of like an activity at the gathering that kind of, I mean, it's obviously like planned that there's going to be some, you know, kind of, what am I saying? Some kind of conversation that's going to come about right. Because of this activity. And we see the beginning of it where, you know, I love that Lisa's thing that she wants to say is basically that she loves herself.
She's and like, I have big goals. I need to reach them.
In Whitney's confessional, she's like, I wish I could be that confident or arrogant. I'm not sure.
I mean, listen, there were no rules about what anyone had to write. So if that's how she felt, whatever, not everyone has the same, you know, troubles, but it was so, I did love when Jen was like, do we have to write it or can we just like talk about it? I was like, honestly, I agree with you. Just like make it like a conversation.
Also Whitney took this opportunity to clear up that she is not a swinger.
this is an inside joke between me and Lisa. Cause everyone was literally the whole table is like, what the fuck? This lunch was a mess. Oh my God.
So we'll get more into this next week, but we see Jen kind of talking about the pressure of growing up with the oldest child in her family. Her dad's from Tonga. The family stuff is its own thing, but the whole tie in to Meredith, I didn't really see that. I thought she was kind of like, give us a little bit of a stretch. And then in the preview for next week, we see that she is like screaming at Mary. So clearly it doesn't go great.
I wasn't buying that at all. I was like, and first of all, she made it seem again, take the family thing out of it. That has nothing to do with that at all. Where she was like, I act like that because that's how I really care about my friends. What? That makes less than zero sense. No one behaves like that because they really care about that friend. Dylan, imagine I loved you so much. I just screamed in your face like all the time. And I was like, no, it's because I love you. It doesn't work that way.
You know, sometimes you just have to embrace that you're a grandfather MF-er and it happens.
I do have to go there.
Okay, with all of the stuff that we've talked about this week, who is your number one Bravo Leb in the group?
My number one is Heather for multiple reasons this episode. Yeah. Number one, she made it very clear when she got up to go to Mary to not touch her food, especially her lollipop drumstick. Because let me tell you, when you go to any event, like a wedding or anything, when you go to the bathroom or the dance floor or anything and then come back and your food is gone, have you ever felt a pit in your stomach like that before?
Oh my God. Especially when you tell someone to watch your stuff.
Don't touch my fucking food.
I would rather have like my coat or my wallet get stolen
than my
food or my beverage. Honestly, take my credit card. I'll get a new one. Don't take my fucking food, because if the food is gone, I can't just get a new one. I mean, maybe
also
I can,
you can't drink
not.
That much more because you're on an empty stomach. It's just like bullshit. Who do I have to talk? What maitre d' do I have to talk to? Don't touch my damn.
What maitre d'? Oh my
Don't
God.
Touch my damn food. Okay. So it goes to Heather. What about yours?
I'm going to say Lisa. I really appreciated the scene with her and Meredith. I thought that was a really great moment, and it was nice to see a little more human side of her. But at the same time, I love her kind of, like nightmare quirks, like can I touch. And yeah, I love Lisa. I'm very into her energy.
At first I was a little hesitant because I was like, oh no, where is she going, like I don't know, but I have always felt a small love, so I think it's growing.
A loving thumbs up to Lisa this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget to check out our Bravo by Betches collection on shop.betches.com and follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches, and rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast if you enjoy listening.
Thank you so much, and we will be back tomorrow.
Betches.